great Shalom broadcast, bringing hope and health and healing to children and youth. This is Sharon Sarles, and today I have with me Dr. Jeff Myers of Passing the Baton. Welcome, Dr. Myers.
Thank you, Sharon. It's good to be with you.
Well, I'm delighted to have you. I want to tell everybody right off that you have a goal to train 1 million adults to mentor, coach, and call youth to godly leadership by 2015.
Yeah, that's right. That is the goal. And we are, well, we will, by the end of 2009, God willing, be about one-third of the way there. So we're actually ahead of reaching the goal, primarily because of what God is doing in other countries.
Well, it's amazing. At the end of the show, I'll tell everyone how to connect with you and how to see you live. But also, I want to tell everyone we will actually help them know how to transform youth from their self-absorbed so-and-sos into godly leaders.
Exactly. Yep, that's the goal.
Okay, now I'm calling you Dr. Myers, but you're not a medical doctor. So would you tell us a little bit about your ministry?
Sure. Well, I'm a doctor of philosophy, which means that if you want to talk about, if you want somebody to save your life, don't talk to me. But the focus of the ministry is of passing the baton is that we recognized a few years ago that we were on the brink of a leader succession crisis in the United States of America. That is, the baby boom generation is preparing to retire. The year 2015 is the peak year of retirement for the baby boom generation. And there was not, as there has been in previous generations, a move on the part of this generation of leaders to train those who would come after them. So the attitude seemed to be in the church, in government, and in business that somebody would retire and say, well, I've got mine, you know, good luck to you in doing the best that you can with what I leave behind. Well, you can imagine the economic tragedy, but think of the spiritual tragedy if people in the church don't take personal responsibility to mentor and disciple and coach the next generation. So that became our goal, and we knew it would be one of the hardest things we ever did, because if somebody's not interested in training young people, you know, how do you get them interested in training young people? Part of that was this new book called Handoff, the goal of which is to show people what an enormous blessing comes to them when they understand what it means to personally invest in the life of a young person.
Well, in fact, I can well imagine. I don't call myself a doctor, but I teach a little sociology. And so what we really are talking about is the possible death of our society if we don't get with it.
That's exactly right. And this kind of thing has happened before. In fact, I tell the story in the Handoff book in 1453, when the Muslim Turks invaded Constantinople, and to destroy it for the final time, a big part of the troops they brought with them were called the Janissaries. These were young men and women who came from Christian families, whose parents had sent them off to be trained by the Muslims, never realizing that they were being trained in a fanatical ideology. And then Sultan Mehmet unleashed these Janissaries on the city of Constantinople. They went in and started slaughtering people, never realizing that the people they were slaughtering were their own fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters, because there was never an intentional effort to train these young people to live a godly life, and they let their entire civilization go.
Mm-hmm. Well, we often talk about it in terms of losing the science and technology race and in economic terms, but really it boils down to character too, doesn't it?
Oh, yes, it does. You know, good character accelerates your anointing into genuine influence. Bad character drives your anointing into the ground. So we have, in this generation, a lot of gifted young people who've never had anyone walk with them to develop character. And character is one of those things you just don't acquire on your own. You have to have somebody who demonstrates strong character walk along beside you. So we have these gifted young people who are not demonstrating good character, and their gifts and anointing are actually making them more miserable and also ruining their lives.
Well, they're miserable, but also a society whose top leaders who are going in the wrong direction, that means we're in trouble, doesn't it?
Well, yes. These are the young people we're going to call on someday to run for Congress. These are the young people we're going to have to call on someday to be the presidents of the large corporations that employ hundreds of thousands of people. These are the people who will be mayors. These are the people who will be moms and dads raising the next generation. At every level, this is a catastrophe unless we begin to address it right now.
Really, it's a catastrophe of our own making, is it not?
It is a catastrophe of our own making because the solution to it is so simple. And I think this is where, for Christian people, there's a great opportunity. If the rest of the world is not going to personally invest in the next generation, but Christians do invest in the next generation, and then you have the opportunity for Christian young people with godly convictions to move into significant areas of influence all across society. So this may be the worst time in the history of the church for the last 1,000 years, but it could very well be the very best time in the history of the church in the last 1,000 years, depending on how each person in the church responds.
Well, we certainly have an opportunity. So far, how is the church doing?
So far, how is the church doing?
Yes, are we reproducing ourselves in the United States?
Yeah. In the United States of America, keep in mind that the church growth is at its lowest level. Since 1991, the actual level of growth in the church has been shrinking when compared to the population growth. And then you have the fact that, as George Barna points out, 51% of Protestant pastors do not possess a biblical worldview. In other words, they don't believe that Jesus is really the Savior. They don't believe that Satan is real and so forth. And so they pass that baton of unfaithfulness to their parishioners. And only 8% of Protestant people who attend church on Sunday morning in America even possess a biblical worldview. So what will happen when they pass that baton of unfaithfulness to their children is pretty easy to guess, isn't it?
So right now, American Christians, only 8% of those have a biblical worldview.
That's right, yes, 8%.
And also, at each younger age cohort, fewer Americans are Christians. Is that also right?
That is true. There has been some study done on that the older generation, the greatest generation, those who fought in World War II, were predominantly Christian. The baby boom generation, somewhat less so. Generation X, somewhat less so. And the millennial generation, somewhat less so. So you can, once again, you see if each generation doesn't pass those godly values to the next generation, then, obviously it shouldn't be a surprise to us that the things we hold dear slip away.
This sounds statistically very bleak. So you're telling me in a country that thinks of itself as a Christian nation, where every church thinks of their prime directive as the Great Commission, and yet we're not reproducing ourselves at all?
Well, keep in mind, Sharon, that the reason we're not reproducing successfully is we've given up on Jesus' means of reproducing. You know, we have stopped this life-on-life discipleship and begun to privilege large Sunday gatherings with tens of thousands of people and video screens and so forth, you know, all of which is good as far as teaching is concerned. But remember that Jesus did teach the multitudes, but the vast majority of his time, Gunter Kalman estimated that 14 months out of the 36 months that he was with his disciples, he invested personally in the lives of those 12 who traveled with him everywhere he went.
He walked around with 12 guys.
That's right. That's how you grow the church, through that life-on-life influence, not through stadium events, not through a fantastic programming and so forth.
Okay, so how do I, as an adult, connect with younger people and disciple them and share what I do know?
Well, there are a couple of ways that you can get started that are really simple. I would suggest just pray and ask God for an opportunity next time you go to church. I can almost promise you he's going to put you in a pew around a younger person. So introduce yourself to that younger person. Say, you know, I'm so-and-so, and I have been going to this church for a long time, and I've learned a lot about the Lord, and I'm really excited about sharing it. Could my spouse and I take you out to lunch after church is over? Because we'd just like to, just to get to know you a little bit and invest in you and just encourage you some. And if you want to bring some friends, that's fine, too. Or next time you go to church, just prepare a little bit of extra food for the Sunday meal in your home, and then just look for somebody who you can ask to come over. Start with those everyday conversations. Another way to do it is just to look for young people who are around you all the time and say, you know, I've learned some things that might be helpful in you becoming more successful. Could I take you to coffee and I'll share some of those things with you.
Okay.
Or it might even just be, you know, I'm open to meeting with you and sharing some things with you if you're interested. Just opening the door there.
Okay. Well, I can grasp lunch, coffee. That makes sense to me. But I'm just not entirely sure that every young person is going to be open to what I have to give. There seems to be quite a cultural divide.
There's no doubt a cultural divide, but I don't think the cultural divide should scare us away. You know, I've had a lot of older people say, well, these young people are so smart. They know everything about how to program a DVD player. They know how to use computers and text message and things like that. I don't know any of that. But keep in mind, there's a big difference between technological cleverness and wisdom. Wisdom is the kind of knowledge that years of experience entitle you to possess. So I would encourage your listeners to put that fear behind them and then just start making the invitations. There are also studies that demonstrate that the vast majority of Generation X people and Millennial Generation people wish they had a mentor. And so if you're the one who is willing to invest in them, they'll appreciate that and be open to it. Yes, it might be a little awkward at first, but you know, and getting to know anybody is a little bit awkward at first. It just takes some time until you develop those connections.
So what you're saying is that many of them do want to talk with us. So if I get behind the baggy pants and the piercings and past enough no's, that I'll get to some yeses.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, I think what you'll find is that all of those things, those fashion things, are just that stuff that these kids have been taught to do by the media. Remember, every young person sees, on average, 2,000 commercial messages a day.
Oh, well.
God wants you healed. We know this for many reasons. Read why in Sister Sharon's new book, God Wants You Healed. Turn away doubts and receive healing. It is not God's plan for any child to have pain or deficiency. Stop believing stories and get one step closer to God and healing by understanding God wants you healed. Send $15 to Post Office Box.
Oh, death has been defeated and life has been released. No longer are God's people walking in defeat. We're rejoicing in the Lord for the victory.
This is the Great Shalom Broadcast, and I'm Sharon Sarles. And with me today is Dr. Jeff Myers of Passing the Baton. Welcome back, Dr. Myers.
Thank you.
We're talking about how to mentor young people into godly leadership. And, of course, even the best media, and, of course, we do appreciate some media around here, but even the best cannot raise children and mentor young people into leadership. And we're trying to think about how to do that. It does seem quite a challenge sometimes, and particularly for those of us who don't feel that we were ever mentored, perhaps maybe not even parented very well, and yet we would like to, I hope a lot of us, baby boomers, would like to step up to the challenge and come along with you, invest in young people, but it seems quite a challenge.
Yeah, well, it is a challenge. I mean, remember that everybody's busy. We all have a lot of things going on. In many cases, we have our own families to be concerned with. But I challenge people in the handoff book just to start with the mentoring moments. You know, if you give a blessing to a person, it's as simple as saying, here is something about you that makes a great deal of difference to me. How long does that sentence really take to utter? I mean, that's 30 seconds. You can say to somebody, has anybody ever told you that you have the gift of such and such? I want to encourage you because I was so blessed by that gift. That's just a few seconds to say that. Those mentoring moments many people treasure as the times that really lit the match for them. When I do workshops on passing the baton, I ask people to share the stories of teachers who had a significant positive influence on their lives. And they tell those stories over and over again, just small moments that made a big difference.
Just to have a positive word spoken over one in a hard time makes a big difference. I like that idea of the blessing. And sometimes we talk about it in theological terms, and that's all wonderful, but sometimes we wonder, well, How do we speak a blessing?
Yeah. You know, the term blessing is in the Bible. It's the word eulogos. It comes from two Greek words, eulogos. Eulogos means eulogy. Now, when do we give eulogies to people?
Well, normally eulogies come in funerals or memorial services.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? We speak words to people. It means well word. We speak well of people after they are dead and can no longer...
The Great Shalom Broadcast, bringing hope and health and healing to children and youth. This is Sharon Sarles, and today I have with me Dr. Jeff Myers of Passing the Baton, and who will be the keynote speaker at the upcoming Texas Homeschool Coalition in the Woodlands. Welcome, Dr. Myers.
Thank you, Sharon. It's good to be with you.
Well, I'm delighted to have you. I want to tell everybody right off that you have a goal to train 1 million adults to mentor, coach, and call youth to godly leadership by 2015.
Yeah, that's right. That is the goal. And we are, well, we will, by the end of 2009, God willing, be about one-third of the way there. So we're actually ahead of reaching the goal, primarily because of what God is doing in other countries.
Well, it's amazing. At the end of the show, I'll tell everyone how to connect with you and how to see you live. But also, I want to tell everyone we will actually help them know how to transform youth from their self-absorbed so-and-sos into godly leaders.
Exactly. Yep, that's the goal.
Okay, now I'm calling you Dr. Myers, but you're not a medical doctor. So would you tell us a little bit about your ministry?
Sure. Well, I'm a doctor of philosophy, which means that if you want to talk about, if you want somebody to save your life, don't talk to me. But the focus of the ministry is of passing the baton is that we recognized a few years ago that we were on the brink of a leader succession crisis in the United States of America. That is, the baby boom generation is preparing to retire. The year 2015 is the peak year of retirement for the baby boom generation. And there was not, as there has been in previous generations, a move on the part of this generation of leaders to train those who would come after them. So the attitude seemed to be in the church, in government, and in business that somebody would retire and say, well, I've got mine, you know, good luck to you in doing the best that you can with what I leave behind. Well, you can imagine the economic tragedy, but think of the spiritual tragedy if people in the church don't take personal responsibility to mentor and disciple and coach the next generation. So that became our goal, and we knew it would be one of the hardest things we ever did, because if somebody's not interested in training young people, you know, how do you get them interested in training young people? Part of that was this new book called Handoff, the goal of which is to show people what an enormous blessing comes to them when they understand what it means to personally invest in the life of a young person.
Well, in fact, I can well imagine. I don't call myself a doctor, but I teach a little sociology. And so what we really are talking about is the possible death of our society if we don't get with it.
That's exactly right. And this kind of thing has happened before. In fact, I tell the story in the Handoff book in 1453, when the Muslim Turks invaded Constantinople and to destroy it for the final time. A big part of the troops they brought with them were called the Janissaries. These were young men and women who came from Christian families, whose parents had sent them off to be trained by the Muslims, never realizing that they were being trained in a fanatical ideology. And then Sultan Mehmet unleashed these Janissaries on the city of Constantinople. They went in and started slaughtering people, never realizing that the people they were slaughtering were their own fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters, because there was never an intentional effort to train these young people to live a godly life, and they let their entire civilization go.
Mm-hmm. Well, we often talk about it in terms of losing the science and technology race and in economic terms, but really it boils down to character too, doesn't it?
Oh, yes, it does. You know, good character accelerates your anointing into genuine influence. Bad character drives your anointing into the ground. So we have, in this generation, a lot of gifted young people who've never had anyone walk with them to develop character. And character is one of those things you just don't acquire on your own. You have to have somebody who demonstrates strong character walk along beside you. So we have these gifted young people who are not demonstrating good character, and their gifts and anointing are actually making them more miserable and also ruining their lives.
Well, they're miserable, but also a society whose top leaders who are going in the wrong direction, that means we're in trouble, doesn't it?
Well, yes. These are the young people we're going to call on someday to run for Congress. These are the young people we're going to have to call on someday to be the presidents of the large corporations that employ hundreds of thousands of people. These are the people who will be mayors. These are the people who will be moms and dads raising the next generation. At every level, this is a catastrophe unless we begin to address it right now.
Really, it's a catastrophe of our own making, is it not?
It is a catastrophe of our own making because the solution to it is so simple. And I think this is where, for Christian people, there's a great opportunity. If the rest of the world is not going to personally invest in the next generation, but Christians do invest in the next generation, and then you have the opportunity for Christian young people with godly convictions to move into significant areas of influence all across society. So this may be the worst time in the history of the church for the last 1,000 years. But it could very well be the very best time in the history of the church in the last 1,000 years, depending on how each person in the church responds.
Well, we certainly have an opportunity. So far, how is the church doing?
So far, how is the church doing?
Yes. Are we reproducing ourselves in the United States?
Yeah. In the United States of America, keep in mind that the church growth is at its lowest level. Since 1991, the actual level of growth in the church has been shrinking when compared to the population growth. And then you have the fact that, as George Barna points out, 51% of Protestant pastors do not possess a biblical worldview. In other words, they don't believe that Jesus is really the Savior. They don't believe that Satan is real and so forth. Then so they pass that baton of unfaithfulness to their parishioners. And only 8% of Protestant people who attend church on Sunday morning in America even possess a biblical worldview. So what will happen when they pass that baton of unfaithfulness to their children is pretty easy to guess, isn't it?
So right now, American Christians, only 8% of those have a biblical worldview.
That's right, yes, 8%.
And also, at each younger age cohort, fewer Americans are Christians. Is that also right?
That is true. There has been some study done on that the older generation, the greatest generation, those who fought in World War II, were predominantly Christian. The baby boom generation, somewhat less so. Generation X, somewhat less so. And the millennial generation, somewhat less so. So you can, once again, you see if each generation doesn't pass those godly values to the next generation, then, obviously it shouldn't be a surprise to us that the things we hold dear slip away.
This sounds statistically very bleak. So you're telling me in a country that thinks of itself as a Christian nation, where every church thinks of their prime directive as the Great Commission, and yet we're not reproducing ourselves at all?
Well, keep in mind, Sharon, that the reason we're not reproducing successfully is we've given up on Jesus' means of reproducing. You know, we have stopped this life-on-life discipleship and begun to privilege large Sunday gatherings with tens of thousands of people and video screens and so forth. You know, all of which is good as far as teaching is concerned. But remember that Jesus did teach the multitudes, but the vast majority of his time, Gunter Kalman estimated that 14 months out of the 36 months that he was with his disciples, he invested personally in the lives of those 12 who traveled with him everywhere he went.
He walked around with 12 guys.
That's right. That's how you grow the church, through that life-on-life influence, not through stadium events, not through fantastic programming and so forth.
Okay, so how do I, as an adult, connect with younger people and disciple them and share what I do know?
Well, there are a couple of ways that you can get started that are really simple. I would suggest just pray and ask God for an opportunity next time you go to church. I can almost promise you he's going to put you in a pew around a younger person. So introduce yourself to that younger person. Say, you know, I'm so-and-so, and I have been going to this church for a long time, and I've learned a lot about the Lord, and I'm really excited about sharing it. Could my spouse and I take you out to lunch after church is over? Because we'd just like to, you know, just to get to know you a little bit and invest in you and just encourage you some. And if you want to bring some friends, that's fine, too. Or next time you go to church, just prepare a little bit of extra food for the Sunday meal in your home, and then just look for somebody who you can ask to come over. Start with those everyday conversations. Another way to do it is just to look for young people who are around you all the time and say, you know, I've learned some things that might be helpful in you becoming more successful. Could I take you to coffee, and I'll share some of those things with you.
Okay.
Or it might even just be, you know, I'm open to meeting with you and sharing some things with you if you're interested. Just opening the door there.
Okay, well, I can grasp lunch, coffee. That makes sense to me. But I'm just not entirely sure that every young person is going to be open to what I have to give. There seems to be quite a cultural divide.
There's no doubt a cultural divide, but I don't think the cultural divide should scare us away. You know, I've had a lot of older people say, well, these young people are so smart. They know everything about how to program a DVD player. They know how to use computers and text message and things like that. I don't know any of that. But keep in mind, there's a big difference between technological cleverness and wisdom. Wisdom is the kind of knowledge that years of experience entitle you to possess. So I would encourage your listeners to put that fear behind them and then just start making the invitations. There are also studies that demonstrate that the vast majority of Generation X people and Millennial Generation people wish they had a mentor. And so if you're the one who is willing to invest in them, they'll appreciate that and be open to it. Yes, it might be a little awkward at first, but you know, and getting to know anybody is a little bit awkward at first. It just takes some time until you develop those connections.
So what you're saying is that many of them do want to talk with us. So if I get behind the baggy pants and the piercings and past enough no's, that I'll get to some yeses.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, I think what you'll find is that all of those things, those fashion things, are just that stuff that these kids have been taught to do by the media. Remember, every young person sees, on average, 2,000 commercial messages a day.
Thank you for joining us for the Great Shalom broadcast with your host, Sharon Sarles. Sharon is an author, educator, minister, parent, and grandparent committed to sharing the understanding of God's love and desire that all children experience optimal well-being in this generation and the generations to come. The Great Shalom broadcast is here to bring hope, health, and healing for children and youth by inspiring, informing, equipping parents and educators. For more information on today's program or today's offer, simply log on to thegreatshalom.org or email info@greatshalom.org.